thing.
Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
All right, welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I am Reba Haas with RE/MAX Metro.
And I'm Eric Osnes with Home Street Bank. We were just joking about some of the photos that I've seen in property appraisals because look at about 20 different appraisals every month.
Yep.
The best
pigs
one,
in the house.
The pigs in the house. That was the best one.
Yeah.
This house had
almost like pigs in a blanket, but not as tasty.
Oh my gosh. It had two full grown, full on 500 pound hogs in the kitchen.
Yes.
And the only
we just watched Wild Hogs last night, but it wasn't quite like that.
Actually, I flipped past that too.
I was absolutely shocked. And the only smart animal in that whole kitchen was a dog. He was in a dog cage. He's like, I'm not going out there. Yeah. There's pigs out there.
You know, so I'm gonna quickly touch on that. You made a comment on Matterport that shows everything, including like the dog bowls and stuff.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, staging nowadays, especially if you walk into model homes, and I've done this in other people's homes, they actually purposefully, because especially with animals, cats and dogs being so popular in the Seattle area, they actually build staging around it now. And it's kind of fun.
Build staging around
the animal?
The animal.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
you'll
right,
see
right,
like
right.
These matching dog bowls and like little hooks
sure.
with things hanging down for the leashes. And
because right.
they want to show, like, because there's so many people who
this
do
is
have
a
pets.
Dog friendly, pet friendly house.
Yeah, exactly. And so they want to show, like, here's where Fido can fit in your
right.
house too. As well as all your furniture.
The only difference there is that the dog bowls aren't full of...
Yes, they're not full of
stuff.
muck and slobber marks everywhere, and the floors haven't stained yet from...
No slow motion video of the dog shaking the rain off of his coat.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing like that.
Exactly. So there are some fun things, though, that are happening with that, because you could actually clean something up to make that work. But to that point, so we were talking about evaluating properties and like... how they might come across in photos. Like if someone's preparing their home, like what should they be thinking about for, I'm going to start with you first, Jesse. What should they be thinking about prepping their homes for sale? Because this is the beginning part of the heavy selling season right now.
Well, I would like to think, my first thought is to say, do the obvious things, but
they're not always obvious.
Yes, I find that the things that should be obvious are not.
We coach a lot.
Yes,
we do a lot of coaching.
I know. The curb appeal, obviously. Well, obviously, there I go.
What about curb appeal? Like, what should people be considering?
Plant, if you can, if it's the right season, plant some flowers and get rid of the garbage.
All the leaves in the yard. I just saw this beautiful house the other day. I was like, why didn't you have somebody, get in there with a blower?
Right.
Like, it looks ridiculous.
Have the roof cleaned if there's a bunch of moss on it, all those kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Touch up maybe some of the fascia boards.
Yeah.
If they're mildewy, clean them up or power wash them.
If you can get the neighbors to maybe move the old... the old broken down car out of the way or something.
Yeah, as long as you're talking to them, yes.
Yeah.
They may be moving because of that car.
Yeah, exactly.
But what about foliage? Because there's in staging, we talk a lot.
For interior, you mean?
No, for the outside.
Oh, okay.
So there was a house I was looking at the other day, and you could barely see the house because there's a big old tree that nobody thought to limb up so you could actually see the front of the house.
Yeah, definitely doing something like that to let you see what especially the entryway looks like. I think that's really important.
Yeah, because whenever I see something like that, I'm like, oh, look at the small forest you're purchasing.
Right.
Awesome.
Yeah, and there's a little tiny bit of a house in there, a little garage sticking out.
Well, especially when it's the first photo, because that's what people have to remember.
Right.
This is the very first image.
Right.
And... impression that somebody has of your home, and you got to think about what's that look like.
And I think that's kind of one of the frustrating things I find about the requirements of the MLS is that they, if I understand, they require you to
have either a view shot,
right,
or the home exterior is required.
And sometimes the best shot is maybe the interior. Sometimes
it
looks really bad on the outside. You walk in and it's a really, really nice house.
Oh, yeah. I'm often surprised at what the interiors look like. And the outside, you're like, ooh, okay.
Yeah. So
nice. Or the thing that other people think sometimes with the view shots is they assume if you're showing the view first.
Right.
That something's wrong with the house. But that's not always the case either. Some
people
just really want to show that it's, looking out over waterfront or something like that.
Right.
But okay. So what about inside?
Well, that's where the real, the real obvious, what should be obvious comes in. But making the bed, getting rid of the laundry, doing the dishes, vacuuming.
Maybe putting on fresh bedding.
Yeah, fresh bedding. Well, believe me, so I've gone into some places where they don't even really have beddings. They've just thrown a bedding and they just throw a blanket over the mattress.
Right.
And the mattress is just kind of there. And that seems to be the way people live. But
we don't judge here, though.
Yeah.
No.
I was going to say.
Yeah, right. And that is part of the thing is, people come from all kinds of economic backgrounds.
Right, right.
And, so there's different expectations, I think.
Right.
But that's why, people like me also provide staging.
Right.
We call it stunt bedding. I have a large house, not because there's two people living in my house. And we have 3,000 square feet, not because we love spreading out. It's because four rooms and half a garage are dedicated to all my staging equipment.
Sure.
I have a big write-off on my house of all the space used for my business. stunt bedding can be quite helpful. Besides having it tidy.
Decluttering is probably the biggest thing. I mean, getting rid of all the knickknacks and personal images, wedding photos, all those kind of things. So a lot of times people don't think about that stuff. Mm-hmm. Show up to a house and sometimes they think, okay, now you're here, we should start cleaning.
Oh my goodness.
Which is a little frustrating.
Yeah. Because how long does it normally take for you to shoot a house?
Probably an hour and a half, depending on, the average house.
So if someone else is just now cleaning their house up, you're like, oh, my next appointment is screwed.
Right.
Okay.
And how about you, Jeff, for Matterport? How long does it take?
Usually a 3,000-square-foot home would probably take an hour and a half, hour 45.
Okay. So
less time than I thought.
Then, yeah.
Okay. Less time than I thought.
Yeah, not too bad.
Okay. But in your case, it's got to be even more pristine.
Yeah, I mean, again, the camera is going to see everything your eye sees. I mean, if there's a scratch in the paint, if there's a big dust bunny on the floor, it picks up every single thing.
Right. Okay. And because you and I had talked before that if you have things you don't want people to see, because you can just black out a room, even in the floor plan, and that's like, say, it's closet space or something like that, and they can jam all their stuff in there.
Oh, yeah.
Basically.
I mean, yeah, no, there's...
Because you're not filming inside a closet.
No.
Right. Okay.
Not unless it's a, big walk-in closet that the people want to show.
Right.
Yeah, no, never usually closets.
Okay.
Mostly not people's garages, because even when people, unless they've totally moved out, the garages usually have stuff in them. Even new construction, there's still construction stuff usually in the closets.
Yeah, absolutely. They always have leftover paint and pieces of tile and other things, or maybe even staging for the house that's getting built next door.
I had a lady that has lived in her house for 40 some years and she wanted to list it, but she doesn't want people to come and look at it unless they're really serious. So the agent had me come in. The house was pretty cluttered, not hoardish at all, but just cluttered. And the agent and her 12-year-old daughter would go from room to room ahead of me, move everything out. I'd go take the room. I'd go out. They'd put the stuff back in. They put stuff out the front door,
Jesse, does that sound familiar?
Very familiar. If everything gets moved behind the camera, and then we take the picture, and then we turn around the other way, and everything gets moved back the other way.
Yeah. I always tell clients after a photo shoot, I'm like, if you can't find something that was in the room before, look in a drawer or a cabinet nearby. We may have stashed it.
That's right. Selling out is a really good time to kind of do some of that clean out and do some donations.
Yeah. Well, and frankly, I like to tell people it's pre-packing.
Right.
It makes your life so much easier. Like, so you shared a link with me today that you didn't realize I had already shared on social media that was about moving with kids.
Right.
Tips on moving with children and about, do your packing when the kids are asleep. Otherwise, you're going to it's my favorite toy, the one they haven't touched for a year.
That's right.
I tell clients it's pre-packing.
Right.
And most of them end up thanking us later because they're like, oh, my gosh. Doing all of that decluttering made that 30 or 40 day period while we were under contract easier because, oh my gosh, imagine what it would be like trying to do that all at once.
Or in 1 or 2 days.
Yeah, right.
Because it usually
takes people months.
It's stressful enough buying and selling a home, let alone adding that on top of it. So that's really, really good. I use the 1 year rule. If I haven't used it in a year, the odds are I'm probably not going to use it. So
yeah.
So tell us a little bit, too, Jeff and Jesse, what would be a typical cost for your services so our listeners could get a general idea?
Roughly, for me, it's about 10 cents per square foot.
Okay.
I mean, that's a rough rule of thumb. As houses, just like anything, a quantity discount, as a house gets to be 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 square feet, you get a little bit of a discount, but about 10 cents a square foot.
So for 3D Matterport, whole system, so roughly about 10 cents a square foot.
Yeah, so a 3,000 square foot house, about $300.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Jesse, how about you?
I suppose in a way it translates to the same. I'm generally $200 to $300. Mm-hmm. Depending on the size of the house.
Right.
I also do, I don't only do real estate. I work with architects and designers.
Right.
And so I charge, a little more for them just because the usage is different.
But absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about that, because some of your stuff is used for maybe magazine quality, where a real estate agent isn't always necessarily
that.
We might need it for print. Because I know a lot of times there was always different resolutions. We would get one for online, one for use in print. That way your flyers would look a certain way versus how they would look at online. In fact, I think for a while we used to get three different resolution grades from you. And then it eventually...
I'm not sure if you ever got three from me. Maybe you did.
Maybe that was Scott I'm thinking
of. There's the technology in that area. Some people are a little uneasy with it, with different agents. So if they're just simply doing MLS listing and that's it, I just send them a lower resolution, which is still very good quality, but it's what's required for online.
Right.
And then if they're going to do really high-end printing, like send it out to a printer and do very nice, high-quality
brochures. So someone needs to be discussing their marketing plan with you in advance.
They should be aware of that, because I do get calls sometimes where people say, oh, my God, I'm trying to print this really high-end thing, and the printer said it's not good enough. Easily send them something fairly quick, but I need to know that in advance, ideally.
So correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, let's say I'm marketing a high-end home. It's a beautiful home. I've got a view. I've got nice amenities. I should really consider having both, right? Professional photography well as the Matterport 3D.
Absolutely.
Well, I think where it comes in is, like, I did a house last week on Mount Baker that was a custom-built house in 2005, and the two agents that are co-listing it both felt that because of how the house just had so many angles and so many things going on, that even the photography wouldn't give you the flow. So doing the 3D, they have the flow throughout the entire home.
Right. Excellent. Well, yeah. Okay, so we'll talk about that a little bit more when we come back after this break. But thanks for being with us here at Open House with Team Reap. We'll be back in a minute.
If you'd like to call into the show, now's your chance. It's 866-712-1300.